If you think you're a victim, you probably aren't. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life, getting you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness. And here's Steve Brown with God's Roadmap, the Bible. Here's Steve Brown with the teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, we're continuing with our Old Testament survey. And by the way, the staff is putting together a booklet, three booklets that will cover all of this material, give you some key points about each book of the Old Testament and some major themes, so you can use that in your own study of the Old Testament. If you'd like those, if you'll listen for the phone number and the addresses at the end and ask for the first of the three, that's the one we're offering this month, and we're going to be offering all three of them as time goes along. And I think you'll find this helpful in your own Bible study. At any rate, we're in the middle of an Old Testament survey, and we're up to the book of Ezekiel. And if you missed some of this study, and it's been multi-months that we've been doing the Old Testament survey, you might want to get a hold of that booklet. And everything that I offer on Key Life, I'm supposed to say, but forget to say, we'll send it to you as long as supplies last, and they usually do. But I just want to say that. So if we run out and don't have any more, then you don't get really angry and do something bad. So, but generally, our warehouse has enough, but as long as supplies last. Now, if you were listening yesterday, we were looking at the 18th chapter of Ezekiel, and it's a wonderful chapter, especially in dealing with the problem in our time of victimology. A number of years ago, and I'm not going to take the time to read that 18th chapter, but it says, in effect, it starts off with God saying about quoting a proverb, and the proverbs is as follows, and you'll find this in the second verse: the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. You're about the very fundamentalist church that decided after reading the Bible they wanted to have wine. I mean, they've been using grape juice and decided the Bible said wine, they were going to have wine. But all of them were teetotalers, and so they got to talking about it. They didn't know where to get wine, and they didn't want to go into a liquor store. So one guy in the back raised his hand, and he said, you know, I don't know anything about wine, but I do have an aunt who makes persimmon wine. And the pastor said, well, it's wine's wine, so you bring your persimmon wine next week, and we'll have communion with persimmon wine. And so they did. And at the end of the service, the pastor raised his hand and said, we will stand and whistle the doxology. Well, I'm sorry. I just thought of that, and I said it before. And if you'll think about it, it'll be funny to you, too. And that's what this proverb says. Somebody else drank the wine, and you're the one that had to whistle. And then God says, don't use this proverb with my people. If a father does something bad, the father will pay for it. If the son does something bad, the son will do something. Now, yesterday I talked about the importance of the covenant, that when God calls one, he calls a bunch. Let me also give you another addendum today and then tell you what this text is saying. I recognize that the past does affect the future. We get so many letters from those of you who have been through physical and sexual abuse, emotional abuse, by parents or by adults when you were a child, and that really has affected the way you are now. And I don't want to detract from that. There was a time in my life when I had to go back to those places and see them for what they were. I'd been through some difficult generational stuff in my own family. My father had an alcoholic problem. I was an adult child, and there was a place in my ministry where I was just faking it, where I am doing a fairly good job, I'll have you. Nobody knew anything was wrong, but inside, I was so driven that it almost killed me, and I realized I needed to go back and wake some sleeping dogs. And some of you are in the process of doing that right now, and I know that it's painful, so I don't want you to think that anything I'm about to say is in any way minimizing the realities that you're facing right now. But ultimately, no matter how much you've been abused, ultimately, no matter how bad the physical or emotional stuff that's happened to you in the past, you still have to own it. You still have to come to the point where you say, I'm an individual, and I deal with God as an individual. There are people who literally go through this process. I like John Bradshaw, by the way. I think he's wrong about a lot of stuff. He wrote that book, Championing Your Lost Child. He's a former priest and taught that public broadcasting series that they had. And I think he has a lot of insight. But some people get into that stuff and they stay there. You know, they champion their lost child and they hug teddy bears and they write letters to their lost child and it becomes a whole way of life to them. The only reason God gives you a wound is so that you can be healed. And so there's a point at which you got to move out of that. And a part of the moving out of it, and this is where Alcoholics Anonymous is so wise in some of the things that they teach in the 12-step program. One of the steps is, it's me. I'm responsible. I own it. I've done this stuff. It's me. Now, you may be, as I was, and still am on occasion, driven, pushing too far, too hard, going too hard, trying to do stuff even from God. That's a sin, and I can see that some of the reason for that is my fear of being shamed. And I can look into my past, and I can see where all that comes from. But you know something? As my friend told me, Steve, it's time you got off that stuff and stop being driven. You are the one who's being driven. You are the one that makes the decision to be that way. And I could use 1,000 examples by doing that. And so now to the book of Ezekiel in the 18th chapter. Ezekiel is saying as a prophet, speaking for God, don't use that proverb, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. Each person comes before God as an individual. You know what's really refreshing? I see it occasionally. I'm even this way sometimes, but not all the time. When somebody sins and they do something really bad and they say, I'm sorry. That was crazy. I hurt you. I brought shame. I did something wrong. I have no excuse. I'm sorry. Oh, is that refreshing or what? You know, I said that to God the other day. Now, I don't always do that. I generally try to make some excuses with him. I know I did that wrong, but you know I was tired. God says, what? And I say, well, you know, it's a hard time, man. I've been speaking all week and, you know, I was due a little bit of sin here. And God says, what? But sometimes I say to God, God, I'm really sorry. I got no excuse. I mean, I made the decision. It was first degree sin. I did it. I'm so sorry. You know what God says? Stephen, that's so refreshing. It's the same refreshing thing that we feel. I don't have to pretend before God anymore. I don't have to pretend before you. Isn't that wonderful to know you're loved? To know that God's grace is unconditional so you can take the armor off. You don't have to pretend to be something you aren't. And I think that the most mature Christian around is the most repentant person around. It's the Christian who says before God, I blew it. I ask for your forgiveness, but I need more than that. I need your grace to be different. I think the most refreshing person that you will know is somebody who's repentant. Jack Miller used to, and I may have told you this story, but Jack Miller used to, when he's my late friend, the former professor at Westminster and a man whose teaching affected my life deeply. He was the pastor of a New Life Church in Philadelphia, and this woman came to the door when they were having an elder meeting, knocked on the door, and one of the elders answered the door and said yes, and she said, I've come to confess my sins. Now, trust me, I've been a pastor a lot of years. That doesn't happen very often. I mean, session meetings can be disturbed for a lot of reasons, but rarely with somebody who wants to confess their sins. So they said, okay, come in. She sat down. She confessed her sins. And then they prayed for her and told her what Jesus said about being forgiven. And then one of the elders, Jack, said, and he said this with a profound understanding that he didn't even know. He said to this lady, now what have you had to teach us? because only those who are repentant have anything to teach. That's right. Jack used to teach the most repentant person in the congregation ought to be the pastor. I understand that. That's true. Because you don't have anything to hide anymore. So we as Christians can do what God says to do in the 18th chapter of Ezekiel. We can be personally responsible. If you're playing the victim game, if you're blaming all of your bad behavior, and I do this sometimes too, on other circumstances, on your parents, on your background, then don't do that anymore. You don't have to do that anymore. You can go before a God who loves you. And he'll say, that's refreshing. He'll say, Diogenes, you remember he was the guy who went around with a lamp looking for an honest person? Diogenes blew out his lamp and he went home. And I'll tell you something else, you can do more than just go before God that way. You can go before your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you don't have to protect yourself anymore. You can say, it's me. It's not my brother. And it's not my sister. It's me, O Lord. And I'm the one in need. And God always says, hey, that's refreshing. You think about that. Amen. Listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life tape family, I'd love for you to be a part of it. These tapes are free, and these are not tapes of the broadcast. You can subscribe to those, and if you ask us how, we'll tell you how. These are tapes of places where I teach the Bible, and every 7 or 8 weeks, automatically, once you're a part of it, you get a tape. And they keep coming as long as you want them, and they're free. Can't beat the price, so you can't complain. 1-800-KEY-LIFE, you can call 24 hours a day, or Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address. And when I say they're free, I really, really mean that. But listen, some of you are called to stand with us financially because this ministry has ministered to you. And if that's true, help us because you help so many others who can't help us financially. You can charge a contribution on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card included in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size, I'll send you, as my thank you, when you request it, the tape, Dealing with Fear. If you're afraid sometimes, you're going to find this really helpful or maybe give it to a friend. Hey, listen, when you write or call, give us the call letters of this great station because a lot of folks make this broadcast possible. And oh, yes, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.